British forces are currently deployed on 39 operations across 46 countries. But what are they doing in these remote and far-flung locations? The FBS joined up with the MOD to find out what life's really like for those on ops. This time, we're having a brew with the Royal Navy in Bahrain.
Good afternoon. From Bahrain, where we've got three Navy people lined up for a fancy a brew session. My name's Andrew, and with me is...
My name's Baker.
And I'm Zoe.
And the three of us, as I say, are in the Navy, and we're here at the Naval Support Facility in Bahrain on an operation called Kipien. We'll start off with a nice easy question for everybody. We've all got a brew, or as we call them in the Navy, a wet. What is everyone drinking?
So I'm drinking a wee orange and peach tea. I would usually drink a black coffee, but I've had three today, so if I have another one, I might be up till next Tuesday.
So I would usually be, as is in my bio actually, drinking something strong and black, preferably caffeinated. But after this, I need to go to sleep because I'm then going to work for 12 hours overnight. So it's a little bit late for us at 1:30 to be drinking when I want to be asleep, probably around 3. So that might keep me up, which isn't exactly ideal.
And I've got a flat white from the excellent on-base coffee shop that we are fortunate enough to have here. Out the window, as you'd expect in the Middle East, it's pretty hot and pretty sunny. We were here over, all three of us actually, yeah, were here over Christmas, and Christmas Day was a nice sunny day and we did a bit of sunbathing. If you don't know where Bahrain is, it's about halfway down the Gulf, and as you'd expect, experiences extremely hot summers. So although we're missing Christmas at home with our friends and family, at least we're not here in July and August when it really is extremely hot.
And even at Christmas it was like early 20s, yeah. mid-20s, so it's quite pleasant. It hasn't really dropped that much below 20 degrees, I would say. Ooh. In the whole time.
Yeah. Not a great place for us Scottish.
Simple question coming up. What is the food situation like?
Food's really good. I'm veggie, but it's all been really good, really well catered for. Nice spice as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are good, aren't they?
We've got a Sri Lankan theme night coming up this evening, which is pretty exciting, actually. Because of COVID, we don't have the opportunity to go out into Bahrain proper anymore. So it's really good that the chefs here put on a special show every now and then, like tonight.
Yeah, they do. They do a good job. And it's a good variety as well. Obviously, sometimes the same stuff starts cropping up, but you can't really complain after, you know, a few weeks or 6 months. You're going to expect to see the same sort of meals appearing every now and then. They do a good job. And there's also no real limits on how much you can have either, which is a really big deal. Because obviously on ship, if you're deployed, it's kind of, you get a bit worried about things like sustainability and fresh fruit and veg.
Yeah.
I was here, obviously being shoreside, there is not really too much of a problem.
Or fear of judgment.
Yes, that's true as well, yeah.
I think all three of us have been out here to the Middle East and operating out of Bahrain on ships before. And there's a real contrast with the guys who are on ships and the guys like us who are now shoreside. However, in Zoe's case, she still has to do watchkeeping, hence why she's got to go to bed later to keep herself awake through the night watch. Speaking of which, there's obviously some time for downtime while we're out here. What kind of activities do you get up to during your downtime?
So after work, me and the two boys I work with, we like to do boxing circuits at the back of our warehouse. Good stress relief. Especially with the people we work with.
Who are hopefully, or maybe listening.
No, that was a joke. Don't fire me. We do that. We're swimming over the other side, over the American side, which is good. And just having a walk around the base, getting out and about.
There's just something nice, obviously, about being able to kind of be outside rather than being sat in my cabin watching telly when I've been in the ops room looking at a computer for 12 hours. And even if it's just walking around in circles. The camp is apparently about 1,700 metres, apparently. So just walking around in circles, listening to a podcast, perhaps this one, almost every day.
We're quite lucky because normally we get access to the much bigger American naval base that the British base is part of. But as of yesterday, we're COVID restricted from going over there. Hopefully that won't last too long. But that means that we are literally running around or walking around in circles for fizz at the moment. How does this deployment compare to what we've done before?
It is unusual. I've been here before, and this one, I've actually had money. I've actually been able to save money instead of going out to the brunches and whatever. So that's been a positive, I suppose. But no, they have put on loads of things on the base. Although we have been locked in, there have been events, there's been quizzes and bingo nights and stuff to keep us occupied. So it's not all been too bad.
No, and I haven't really... I mean, this is the first time I think I've really been away and living shoreside. So it's obviously... It's a very different thing for me rather than being on a ship where you're kind of working in watches all the time in kind of a small... like, quite a small team. And yeah, it's been quite a different experience, actually. Why have I got Wi-Fi and why can I sit and watch Netflix all the time? And why, when I leave my place of work, does no one ring me to ask me a question, which I'm sure, Shoki, you can appreciate.
Yeah, so in the job I have here, I still do sometimes get called in after hours, which is, I would say the first couple of times it happened, it was frustrating, but then I just realised it's part of the job. And of course, we don't have as many things outside of work that we would normally be doing because of COVID. And I think all three of us are very conscious that by being here and all having been tested on the way in, we do have the ability to do some things that are denied to people back in Britain. So, for example, we can all eat together, we can do a bit of fizz together, play basketball, or even simple things like that, which we're very conscious that people back in Britain can't really do at the moment.
I think it does make a big difference, actually. And also seeing, not to dwell on it too much, but seeing the COVID 19 situation at home from afar has been, I think, one of the biggest, well, quite a challenge, but not the most ideal thing, being deployed and seeing kind of the way that everyone's handling it at home. So we're very appreciative of what's going on over here, but equally watching it from afar is very, very strange, and not being able to kind of, not that we would be able to help anyway, but just seeing it all from afar rather than experiencing it alongside, I've found quite interesting and quite difficult sometimes. Actually,
yeah, definitely.
I agree with that as well. I don't know. I've stopped listening to the news, to be honest.
Yeah, they have it on, but it's almost
like blissful ignorance.
It's on in the ops room. They have it on in the ops room on two televisions on mute all the time, and I really want to turn them off, but I know that I am one of the most junior, if not the most junior person in the ops room, and therefore, if the commander says that the televisions are to be on, the televisions are to be on. There it is.
Talking of the jobs that we do, when we're not doing all that fizz that we talked about, who has got the coolest job on this deployment?
Fridge maintainers.
Good joke. What, out of the three of us, or just in general?
I think
across the whole base.
So I think we have mine countermeasures vessels out here, and they have explosive ordnance divers on them, which even sounds cool just from the job title.
You don't want to, if someone listens to this that's an explosive ordnance diver, their ego will grow yet further.
Yeah, they do have quite big egos. And you have to be extremely physically fit for that job, and their job is to dive under the water and defuse mines and bombs that are on the bottom of the sea. I suppose, going back to what Zoe was saying, are you finding... So how long have you been here? I've been here about 3.5 months.
We flew out together.
Of course we flew out together,
didn't we?
So we've got about 2.5, maybe 3 months.
April-ish. Yeah, end of April.
And how about you, Becca?
So I came out here in August, so I'm reaching the end of my tour now. Got 2 or 3 weeks left.
Relief?
Yeah, relief's coming out on Saturday. So hopefully by the time we get home there's still snow.
Yeah.
I think that'll just...
That far north,
that'll just make things okay.
So everyone, most people who come out here come out for 6 months. Some of the people on ships come out for only 4 months. But whether you come out for 4 months, 6 months, or you're only coming for a visit for a few days, you still have to do 2 weeks of quarantine, which Becca's relief will go into when he or she arrives.
He
arrives on Saturday.
Lance, hello, if you're listening.
Get on that plane. Does anyone have any experiences they'd like to share of being locked in their cabin for 2 full weeks?
Things that you can speak about on a podcast.
Yeah, true. So I used my time in quarantine for a bit of professional development. I had a big write-up to do for a degree that I'm putting myself through. And actually, the 2 weeks, having bought myself a nice new laptop, the 2 weeks were a perfect opportunity to get knuckled down and start that. And I'm pleased to say that I handed it in only last week. So that was a good use of my time.
After it had been eventually proofread.
After it eventually got proofread by some of my friends and peers here at the NSF in Bahrain.
Oh, wow, go you.
Yeah, very productive.
Yeah, that was quite productive.
I think it's quite... I don't know, I found it quite interesting, but like I said, with going out and trying to kind of walk around and get some daylight, which I found even at home when we were in lockdown was something that I kind of did almost every day. It was really, like, I don't know why, I've never done it really before, but it's clearly something that kind of helps me a little bit. But obviously you couldn't do that in your cabin, so I genuinely did put podcast on the speaker, and I walked from the one end of the cabin to the other end of the cabin and round in circles, and then obviously that would get a bit boring, so I'd sit down a little bit, and then I'd stand up again, and then I'd do that, and that would be about 45 minutes in the afternoon, and then, I don't know.
Lie down for the rest of that exhilaration. Yeah.
Perhaps, yeah. Read a lot of books, tried to do some professional development work and reading and research and stuff like this.
Tried to do some Zumba, but in my much smaller cabin than yours, it was a bit more accident prone.
Yeah, it was all right for...
nice bruises on my legs.
Yeah, for the fizz, because there's someone above me at the moment in quarantine, and I can hear them sometimes. I come back from work to go to bed, and you can hear them jumping. They're obviously doing burpees or skipping or something above me. But I was exactly the same when I was in there, and the guy next to me was like... What are you doing? Yeah, what's this strange whipping noise I can hear? Oh no, it's fine. It was a skipping rope. It's all fine.
Good
Nothing
cover up.
Weird.
Yeah, so we may have to quarantine again when we get home as well, which is something I suppose no one's looking forward to, having been away for 6 months. And actually, on that theme, is anyone starting to miss home yet?
Oh, big question.
Only since August.
Only since I got on the plane at Brasenorton.
No, only since I started seeing the snow, because it's not snowed like properly like that for a long time, so I was like...
Yeah, it is.
Where are you from? Quite far? I don't know.
No, Stirling. It's like halfway between Edinburgh and Glasgow.
And of course, it says in your bio that I read.
Yeah, loads of snow though.
Do they sell iron brew here?
No, they don't sell iron brew here. That's another stab wound.
And there was nothing for Burns Night either? Your culture is being decimated here.
Thank you.
So two of the... we have four of those mine countermeasures vessels out here, and two of them are based in Portsmouth. So most of the people who are on those ships live around or commutable distance from Portsmouth. But the other two are based in Faslane, which is west of Glasgow. So people like Becca are part of that situation, and they've come out from Scotland. What's the most interesting thing that's happened to you during the time you've spent on this deployment so far?
You're asking some big questions. The most interesting thing... it's not interesting, but it was just... mine's one of those jobs where it's very different to the job that I'd normally... Well, it kind of is very different. So, obviously, it's not driving a ship, it's driving a desk. But the maintenance of information flow and keeping senior officers informed and happy that you understand the situation and what's going on is very similar to what you would also do on a ship anyway. And having to ring the Commodore, so the highest person that we have, to tell him about 9 o'clock on Christmas Eve that he needed to come in to do a video chat with PGHQ in the UK because of some stuff that was potentially going on. And then also call him the captain, and then also the commander, and everyone that needed to come in. And then it started at midnight. So obviously it was 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock at home, but it started at midnight. So they all came in, and I thought, "Happy Christmas, sir. You're on a VTC." And then at about 1 a.m. our time, they all left, and that was the start of their Christmas day, I suppose.
How did it feel being the most popular person in the office?
Well, I got the coffee machine on before they all came in. I made sure.
Softened the blow.
I did. I made all the phone calls, and I went down there, and I thought, I know what I need to do here, and the coffee machine was on. So,
yeah,
it wasn't so bad. But that's definitely kind of, I don't know, one of the times where I've had to actually do something. I've been a bit nervous on the phone, probably.
Does much go on in the Gulf? So we are in the Gulf now. We're on the western shore of the Gulf in Bahrain. Does much go on in the Gulf? Yes, of course it does. We constantly have interactions with the merchant shipping community. One of our main reasons for being here is to reassure the merchant shipping community that it's safe for them to ply their trade up and down the Gulf and out into the Indian Ocean. And the reason that's so important is because the Gulf is the point of origin for lots of oil products that are used in the UK and throughout Europe. A lot of gas, for example, that heats our homes, for example, where it's snowing in Scotland at the moment, comes from Qatar, which isn't very far away from where we are now. So one of our main jobs is to keep the merchant shipping community feeling safe and protected, and we send our warships out to escort them through the narrowest bits of the sea, such as the Strait of Hormuz or the Bab el-Mandeb. And that's one of our main roles here in Bahrain. Mm.
So that's, like Sharky said, so that's kind of what we do. And then I'm kind of the point of contact. So if something does happen, if something does not necessarily go wrong, but the perhaps the ship that's doing the kind of escorting gets interacted with by another vessel, I'm the first person that kind of finds out about that and then passes the information out. And then usually it's all, well, most of the time, it's all fine.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of letting people know that that's kind of outside. But then I suppose, Becky, you work a lot in, kind of like in the base, so you don't really have that.
No, I've got no idea.
But they do run a twice weekly brief, don't they, for people that don't work. So Sharky and I both work in the ops room, so we're kind of the outward facing, dealing with the operation itself, while Becky is kind of like the works over here in NSF rather than in the HQ building. So supporting the ships directly,
the ships,
right?
Mostly, yeah.
Making sure that they've got, I don't know,
socks and bats and things.
Yeah. Socks, overalls.
Yeah.
It's food.
Oh God, that's not me. Yeah. Just whatever ships need, we're trying to facilitate that so that they're sustainable, going to sea, coming back in, just giving them a hand really. And some morale.
Yes.
It is incredible how much a ship, even a small warship like the mine countermeasures ships, need in terms of support. There's the people to support and sustain from a medical and an administrative point of view. You've got to obviously pay them and clothe them. But then there's all the spare parts that the ships need as well. Because if you've never been on a warship before, you would probably find it a bewildering place to be. Mm-hmm. Even those small ships, it's possible to get lost. And all of the equipment is in constant use and has to be in tip-top working order in case we have to be ready for some contingency operations, which, after reassuring the merchant community, is the second point in our command aim, which is to be ready for contingency operations all the way up to warfighting if that were ever to become necessary.
It was quite interesting as well, though. We took some of those people that would have no idea what a warship was like, did go to sea last month, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Commodore took a bunch of people to sea, which included
RAF people.
Yeah, and some of the army that are here as well, all went to sea and experienced what seasickness apparently is like on a small ship. If you've never been on one, then perhaps you do have it. But by all accounts, they had a lovely time and a very interesting time, given that they would never have experienced that before.
I mean, in all seriousness, seasickness is nothing to be ashamed
of. It is awful.
It is a terrible thing that we've all suffered from. I mean, Nelson himself apparently suffered from seasickness throughout his whole career, and he was very successful. And it's also something that you get a bit used to. I'm pretty sure if you put any of us landlubbers, as in we're working on land at the moment, if you sent us out to sea and it was a bit roughers, I'm pretty sure all of us would feel a little bit queasy. Mm-hmm. And you get used to it, which is where that expression about having sea legs comes from. I should quickly explain why Zoe keeps referring to me as Sharky, even though my real name is Andrew. The Navy has a good tradition of people with certain surnames acquiring automatic nicknames. So Sharky is no reflection on my character, I hope.
But because
of my surname, that's what people call me. And there's lots of surnames out there that attract certain nicknames. Some of them are ancient, like
Jones being Jonah,
yeah. And some of them are far more modern, like Apollo Creed, which is one of my favourite ones. I had Able Seaman Creed on my last unit. What is your favourite way to keep fit here in Bahrain?
Again, walking around in the circles around the base. But I, as we mentioned earlier, we've still got access to most of our gym facilities actually, which again is a real boon for us out here, given that at home people are
don't have that luxury, do they?
Exercise in their tiny postage stamp flats perhaps, unless they've got a nice garden, or in the snow in their back garden in Scotland perhaps. So I suppose it's quite good. So we've got a couple of gyms, and that's probably one of the main things actually outside of my watches that I kind of end up doing. And I find even on board, if I can take 40 minutes or so to go and do something, even if it's not that much, just the physical movement is, and listening to your own music is really helpful.
Yeah,
but time out makes a massive difference, doesn't it?
Especially because you live in such close proximity. And even here, when you've got your own cabin as well, haven't
you? Yeah, I've got a single man cabin. But yeah, you don't want to spend all your time in there because it's nice and it's comfortable, but you do need a release. You need something to keep your mind occupied, so Fizz is a really good way of doing that. Said earlier, we do boxing circuits at work, where we work in.
And Clubs runs circuits, I think, a couple of times a day.
So yeah, who is Clubs, Zoe?
Who is Clubs? Why are they called Clubs?
And why are they called Clubs?
And also, on my last ship, we had a big Clubs and a baby Clubs, being two different ranks. But the... Yeah, so the POPTI. So in the same way that you'd have personal trainers in gyms at home, mm-hmm. You get them in all three services. And they're called club swingers, technically. For some old traditional thing, as most things are in the Navy, where they used to swing clubs around. And if you YouTube it, you can definitely see some club swinging, if that's your thing. Mm-hmm. And therefore shortened colloquially to clubs.
I think it was the way back in Victorian times when they realised that... So back then, they still had the rum ration, and the food was nowhere near as good or as healthy as it is now. And quite a lot of sailors were probably embarrassingly overweight. So they introduced the physical training branch, which is what is now known as the club swingers. And one of the first things they thought of to do was exercises that didn't require very much space. And club swinging was one of the exercises they used to do. Back on the old sailing warships or ships with masts, they used to climb up the yard arms... which was probably really good fizz, but also quite dangerous if you fell off, so don't do that anymore either.
Yes.
It was also around that time that they finally started to teach people in the Navy how to swim. My grandfather was in the Navy in the Second World War, and he, I believe, couldn't swim until about halfway through the war when they suddenly decided to teach people in the Navy to swim.
Oh, that's worrying.
Yeah, it is. There is now a swim test that everyone has to pass when you join the Navy just to make sure that you can swim. And on that theme... Why did we join the Navy?
So I decided to join up after I'd went to college, studied tourism for 2 years, and was struggling to find a well-paid job within that industry. The only kind of drive I had for getting a career was I knew I wanted to travel, so just kind of seeing some glamorous adverts on the TV, got lured in.
It wasn't the... Was it the fixer bike advert? Helicopter?
I still use my fingers to count. I can never do that. I just seen lots of sunny places on the advert. That's what it was. It was seeing those monkeys in Jib, and I was like, "Whoa, where do I sign?" And that was why I joined up. I wanted to travel, wanted a job with good career prospects and sustainability. So that led me here.
And now you are how long in?
4 years. 4 years done.
Oh, exciting. I guess it was just one of those things that I kind of knew that I was going to join anyway because I went to my interview board before I did my degree. So having passed that, I then had a place 3 years later on completion of my degree that I knew I would be at Dartmouth in September 15 after graduating in like the May, July, something like this. So I guess it was just one of those things. My dad and my mum, my dad was in and my mum was and then was in the reserves. So I think it's one of those things that kind of ran in the family a little bit. They were both juniors. And I think basically they'd had a really good time in the Navy. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my dad had left there's some thing that I can't remember. He was probably disgruntled, as most matlows are, about something probably ridiculous, and then left and then worked as a civvy at the NATO in Norfolk, actually. So I think it was just one of those things where they seemed like they had a good time. Again, it seemed like it was quite well paid. You could go away and do stuff. And I guess it was just one of those things that I perhaps they wouldn't have been kind of interested in it or considered it as an option if I hadn't have had my parents kind of pushing me in that direction. I feel like that's quite a common theme. I don't know about either of you, but like if you know someone or your family member has been involved, then you do end up joining.
It's kind of a logical path then. I don't know anyone else when I joined who was in. A girl I went to school with, didn't really speak to her, but I'd kind of seen photos as well. So,
of her travelling around the world, having a good time.
Travelling around the world.
I mean, that's not always the thing that everyone gets, and obviously it is up to the lottery of life in some respects and the lottery of appointment. But thus far, I would say personally, I've had a good time in the past five or so years. So
yeah, I have.
So I've been in for just over 8 years now, and my story isn't that different really to Zoe's, although the inspiration for me was my younger brother. So although he's younger than me, he joined the army before I joined the Navy, and I was in a civilian job in London, and I was inspired by my brother's example, actually. So he was at Sandhurst, and he passed out, and it was all very... I thought it was quite glamorous, and I looked at the army, but I'm glad I chose the Navy, because I think if you're more of a fizz bosun, as another naval phrase, somebody who's really good at fitness and enjoys the idea of soldiering and dressing up in camouflage and marching and getting muddy and rifles and all those things that you associate with the army, then crack on. For me, I like being at sea, I like being by the sea, and when it comes to me and my brother, I was always the slightly brainier one, he was always definitely the fitter one. So I think we've found our respective services. There are only two of us, there's no third brother in the Air Force or anything strange like that. So he was my inspiration to join up, and I suppose similar to Zoe, I wanted to do something that was worthwhile. And even though sometimes it's hard to remember that on any given day, we are out here keeping Britain safe. We are out here doing what needs to be done, despite all of the difficulties of doing it in this COVID lockdown time. And I think all of us feel a sense of fulfilment, or hopefully will feel a sense of fulfilment, when we get back from this deployment with our 6 months done.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the three of us, sadly, better get back to work fairly soon. So if we gather up our now consumed wets or brews, thanks very much for listening to this episode of Fancy a Brew. And we wish you all the best from Bahrain.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thank you, bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Fancy a Brew. Check out other episodes at bfbs.com/podcasts.